We'll start there. 2 Timothy, we'll read a verse of Scripture or two, and then we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians. Why do we need a Bible? Why do we need a Bible? What's so important about the Bible? Amen. Thank God for my Bible. Amen. That song says, I love the old Bible, my precious old Bible. Light on my pathway to shine. It keeps me so happy. Always so happy. That wonderful, God's wonderful book, divine. Amen. I love my Bible. I hope you do. We talked about inspiration and how that last week that when God inspires something, then He does it internally and everlasting. Remember, God breathed into man's nostril the breath of life and man became a living soul. The soul of man never dies. All right? God breathed this inspired, this Bible, God breathed it. I don't believe in re-inspiration, but I do believe, or a double inspiration, but I do believe in preservation. And I believe that that inspired Word of God flows today. I believe it's alive forevermore. But here's the thing, that must be believed by faith if it's going to be of any profit. And tonight we'll take our Lord being our helper. We'll look at some different things throughout the Scripture. And continue on with what is the importance of having an inspired copy of the Word of God. It is very important for you and I today. Because understand this, if we don't have an inspired copy of the Word of God, then we have a man's copy. Amen? And then if it's the man's copy, then we don't have a final authority. And understand this, we need a final authority in our life. And that Bible is a final authority. Amen. And so you pray for us this evening and ask God to help us. Pray the Lord would enlighten our eyes to the Scripture, open our hearts and our minds, help us to comprehend what the Holy Ghost of God is speaking to us about, and to establish the truth and the Word of God in our hearts. And so let's look in verse number 16. The Bible said this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Father, thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You, God, for the privilege, Lord, that You give us to, Lord, to have a copy of the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for giving us the privilege, God, to preach the Word of God. Lord, I pray You'd help us to be instant in season. Lord, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, Lord, with all long-suffering, Lord, to preach the Word of God in its power, Lord, and in its purity. Lord, to help us to see that it's the final authority of our life. And God, it's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and, Lord, the triune God to us as man. Lord, I pray You'd help us to love it. Lord God, I pray You'd help us to read it. I pray You'd help us to believe it. I pray You'd help us to accept it, Lord. I pray, God, that it would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, we'd hide it in our heart that we might not sin against You. Thank You again, Lord, for loving us. Thank You, God, for my Bible. And Lord, I pray, God, You'd help us, Lord, to stand for it. And God, stand on it, Lord, and stand in it, God, in these last days. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Now understand this, we're noticing verse number 16 there. The Bible said all Scripture. Now if you look back at verse number 15, Paul was writing to young Timothy, and he said, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now understand this today, if Timothy never had an original Scripture. Okay? Think about that. Timothy never had an original Scripture. He did not have the original copy of Genesis. He did not have the original copy of Exodus. He did not have the original copy of Deuteronomy or Joshua or Judges or Daniel. But Paul was writing to him and exhorting him and encouraging him and reminding him that he had Holy Scriptures which made him wise unto salvation. Notice what it said there, though, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if you have the Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. The Bible must be believed to be received. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Turn back a few pages to your left in your Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13. Notice what it says here. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, which you heard of us. Okay? Understand something here. Paul was saying here, when I spoke unto you the word of God, which you heard of us. It did say that which you have read of us, but which you have heard of us. Notice what it said. Ye received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now understand this. Before you ever read the word of God, you were taught the word of God. Then when you begin to read the Word of God and you begin to study the Word of God, you begin to know more about the Word of God. But you don't know the complete Word of God today. There is so many truths that are in the Word of God that you and I have yet to grasp. There are so many nuggets in there. There are so many revelations in there. But yet, understand this, we believed on what and in what we heard as we received it. And when we believed it, what did it do? It worked effectually in us. Do you see that? Now the problem today is that people do not believe the Word of God. Now we also know, go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 2. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, after Peter there. Or after Timothy. Before Peter. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 2. Let us, verse number 1, the Bible says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Do you understand that it takes faith to believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration? All. It takes faith to believe that what you have in your hands is a preserved, infallible, inerrant Word of God. You choose to believe that. Now, you can be a textual critic, and you can be a higher critic, and you can go to picking it apart, but here's what happens. When that happens, what you have done is you have played yourself into the hand of the enemy. Because according to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, the first attack that Satan made upon man was getting them to question the authority and the truth of God's Word. Yea, hath God said. Then know what He said? Go to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Yea, hath God said. Look in verse number 1, the book of Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Does anybody remember what tree that was? It was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was the tree of what? The tree of knowledge. This Bible that you hold in your lap, you can get knowledge from it, but you cannot discern it with knowledge. Knowledge destroys faith. Now understand this. I know that we ought to learn and understand this, and I have nothing against education. But understand this. Jesus said, except you come as little children. Who was it that God used to pen the Word of God? Think about it for just a moment. What was Matthew? Anybody remember? He was a tax collector. He was a publican. Luke was a doctor. He was an educated man. We're not really sure what Mark was, but anybody remember what John was? John was a fisherman. Anybody remember what Peter was? Fisherman. Anybody remember what Paul was? He was a soldier. Yes, he was very highly educated. But here's the thing. Remember, in Acts, they were amazed that these common men preached the Word of God. And they had such wisdom on the Word of God. So here's the problem. You must accept the Bible by faith, because without faith, it's not effectual. And we also know that without faith, it is not profitable, because we see two verses there that I just shared with you. So if you don't believe it in faith, then there's no profit in it. It's not effectual. And when you begin to question the authority of the Scriptures, and you begin to question, is this what God really means? Is this what God really said? Then you have played your hand into the hand of the enemy, just as Eve did, because Satan came to Eve and said, Yea, hath God said, and quoted her a verse. And then she began to question, well, maybe he didn't mean that. Maybe it was mistranslated. Okay? You see what I'm saying? Maybe I misunderstood it. Maybe I need to go back to the originals to understand it. Wrong. Okay? I can't read Greek, and I can't read Hebrew. Amen? And one thing about it is, there's not an original around today. There's not an original. They're gone. They're deteriorated. So all you and I have is a copy of the Word of God. But now remember, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said that the Holy Scriptures have made thee wise unto salvation. Now, and you could say, and scholarship will tell you that that is a different word in Genesis, or 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy 3:15 than it is 2 Timothy 3:16 in the Greek. But the fact of the matter is, I speak English. I read English. I believe there's 96 times in the New Testament that the word Scripture is used. Jesus uses Scripture, the word Scripture, more than anybody else. But as I'm reading this, and I'm taking this in context, and I'm accepting it by faith as a little child that it is the Word of God, and when I read that Timothy read the Holy Scriptures that was making him wise unto salvation, my mind don't go back to the originals. My mind goes to the copies that Timothy had. And then when I read the next verse, and it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, I don't have to sit and wonder or get my commentary out. Remember, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible.
I don't have to go to a concordance or a commentary and say, okay, I wonder what scriptures they're talking about. The best, understand, the best commentary on the Word of God is the Word of God. The best dictionary on the Word of God is the Word of God. And as you see in this verse, Paul is writing, and God has inspired him, but God has preserved it, as when you and I read it, that we have the Holy Scriptures mentioned in verse 15, and then verse 16, and it says, all Scriptures. Now let me ask you this. If we pull apart, and we say, well, only the originals were inspired, and I believe that, the originals were inspired. I don't believe in double inspiration. But I do believe in preservation. Okay? And we talked about that last week. Now understand, if all Scripture is not inspired, and we pull that out, then what part is profitable for us? For doctrine, for reproof, for correct. What part? What part do we choose? We pick. Okay? Now, there's no profit in it if you don't believe it. There's no profit in it. I mean, you can strain at it all day long. You can try to pick it apart all day long. You can try to disprove it all day long. But until you put faith in the Scriptures, remember, we see two different places. That one, that when they put faith in the Scriptures in 1 Thessalonians, that it worked effectually in them. And then in Hebrews, when they didn't believe and put faith in it, it had no profit for them. So here's the thing. As I read it, I must believe it and quit questioning it. Because when I go to questioning it, then I have played again, as I said, myself into the hand of the enemy. Yea, hath God said? Y'all see what I'm saying? I'm talking about the importance of your Bible. You must believe it by faith. It must be believed to be received. What happens if I don't have a Bible? What happens in our life if we don't have a Bible? If we don't have a Word of God? You ever thought about that? If you'd never had a Bible, guess what? You'd be on your way to hell. There'd be no discovery of the Savior. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 5, verse number 39. John chapter number 5, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're in John chapter 5, verse 39. If you have Scofield Bible, page 1121. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Do you realize that if you and I do not have a perfect, inerrant, inspired Word of God, then how can we trust and believe that what they say of the Lord Jesus Christ is true? Because the Bible said, Jesus Himself, He said, search the Scriptures, and He was talking of the Old Testament, but now understand this, He wasn't talking about the original copies of the original manuscript. He was talking about copies of the Scriptures. Yes, there may have been an original of some of the later prophets, but understand, it had been 400 years, really 430 years, because it had been 400 years between when the book, when God had spoke through the book of Malachi till the time that Christ came on the scene. There was 400 years of silence. And you're going to tell me that a piece of papyrus, and Dr. Smith gave me a piece of papyrus the other day from England after lunch, and I should have brought it tonight, but what it is the bark there of a certain water reed, and they take it and they crisscross it together and they kind of put a glue on it. And you're going to tell me that maybe one book of Malachi, one copy of Malachi had lasted 400 years on bark? You say, well, God could preserve it. You're exactly right. But God could preserve it as the scribes copied it also. And Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for it is they which testify of me. If I don't have a Bible, I do not have a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. It reveals who Christ is to me. And if I pick and choose what I want to believe, and I pick and choose and say, well, this could be better rendered here, and this could really says this, then how do I know that John 3:16 says what it says? Yea, hath God said? I mean, let's be real. Now, if you have your Bibles, go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse number 10. The Bible said this, of which salvations the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified before him the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. What did it tell? What did it testify of? It testified of the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, of beforehand, of the sufferings of Christ, of the salvation of Christ, and the glory of Christ. What did the Scriptures? The Scriptures did. So understand that if you and I don't have a Bible that we hold and believe is the inspired Word of God, then you and I have a corrupt Word of God and we can't believe it because we don't know what part to believe. And if we can't believe that John 3:16 is a Scripture that testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can't believe that John 1:14 and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men, John 1:11, and we beheld His glory as His only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14, and His minions received them. To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Understand, we must believe it by faith. We must believe it by faith because without it, we have no salvation. We have no salvation. Because how do you put your faith in something if you don't believe it? Now, understand this. Not only I don't have a discovery of a Savior, but I also have no ground for truth. Now, we know this. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? 1 Timothy 3:15, I've already used this verse, but go back to 1 Timothy 3, chapter 15. Not 2 Timothy, but 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Do you know why I can stand before you and tell you that there is two genders and only two? Anybody know why? Because my Bible tells me so. Male and female created He them. How can I stand before you and tell you that abortion is wrong? Because according to the Bible, the children of Israel passed their children through the fire and offered them up to Molech. Right? But my Bible tells me, thou shalt not kill. Right? How can I stand before you and tell you that God honors marriage between one man and one woman? How can I tell you that? Because of what the Scriptures teaches. Well, what about divorce? The Bible says that God said that Moses gave you the bill of divorcement because of the hardness of your heart. Therefore, what God had joined together, let no man put asunder. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. How do we have truth if we don't have a Bible that we can believe? And if we don't have a Bible that we can believe, and we don't have a Bible that we can preach, then guess what? There is no grounds for truth in the world. Because this Bible is the authority in our life. Notice what he said there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. But if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. The pillar and the ground of truth. Notice what he said here. Go back to 14. These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Okay? Let's go back right here. Let's go back just for a moment. Let's take this writing that Paul has wrote to Timothy. And let's pick and choose what we want to believe out of this third chapter. This the truth says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good work, pastor, bishop. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. You know what it says? Alright, what about that one that's got two wives? It's not right. Well, is that what God meant? Well, how can you know that? We're living in a different age and a different time. But how do I know this is an inspired Word of God? How do I know that it's true? How do I know that it wasn't translated wrong? Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. So, if I come in drunk next Sunday morning, y'all going to be all right with that? Why? Because the Bible tells us not to. But if I don't have a true Word of God, how do I pick and choose on what I want to believe? This Bible is the final authority of truth. All Scripture is given by inspiration is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, I don't like what it says. Guess what? There's a lot of things I read I don't like neither. But I can't pick and choose. All Scripture. But if it's not preserved, and I don't believe I have a preserved, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, then where do I stand? How do I stand on truth? The church no longer is the ground of truth because it becomes unstable. And honestly, that's exactly what's wrong with a lot of churches today. They have picked and choose. The problem is, if you have your Bibles, go to Revelation. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Let's go to the book of Revelation. At the very end of your Bible. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter number 2. I want to go back. I'd like to go back, and Miss Fanny's the oldest member here, and I wish there was some more, but I'd like to go back. Miss Fanny, did you ever hear in your younger years, do you ever remember anybody questioning the authority of the Word of God? Never. You want to know why? Because knowledge hadn't increased. Now remember, Satan tempted Eve at the tree of knowledge. Now look here. Verse number 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, however how you say that, which I also hate. He said, you have it, you hate it, I hate it. Well, what does that mean? Well, that word Niko means to conquer. The Laos means the people. Here's what it means. Only the educated and only the priest and only the clergy has the understanding of the Scriptures, and the common Laos people don't. Only those who have the most knowledge has the right to interpret it. Christ said, I hate it. He said, it's in you and I hate it. He said, you hate it, but I hate it. Amen. All right? So, understand this. He hates those who thinks others doesn't have the common sense or the faith to believe the Word of God. It's not the people, it's the doctrine that they have. Their knowledge. You don't have the knowledge to understand the Scriptures. You don't have you've misinterpreted that. All right, you tell me how I misinterpreted John 3:16. The Calvinist and Murray's and most people become Calvin. Is because most people become Calvinists because they quit studying the Word of God and reading the Word of God, and they begin to study after man and seek an intellect and knowledge. And when they get that, they start studying and they get to thinking they're smarter than God. They try to figure out God. So they get to studying after Origen and after Augustine and these other ones, and they begin to study, and then they say, well, wait a minute. Maybe that's misinterpreted. Maybe that's misread. Every one of them that I know has quit studying the Bible and gone to studying after man. Right? That's a problem. Because then they say, well, you know, here's what a Calvinist believes. I have the knowledge and I'm one of the elect. And you're elected to go to heaven, but you're elected to go to hell. So how do you deal with John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. God is not long-suffering and counting slack, as some men count. God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but His long-suffering does work. Not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Well, somebody has got the mindset that they know more than God. So if I don't have a true Word of God, number one, I have no discovery of a Savior, but I also have a church that is unstable. But I also have this, and I'm going to be done right here. First, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Or verse, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read both verses. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Y'all see that? Guess what? If I don't have a Bible that's true and inspired, then I can never be approved unto God. Right? Is that not what he said? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The saints will lose God's approval if I don't have a true Bible. Not only the saints will lose God's approval, understand this, the saints will never be truly furnished. Because look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 17. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Y'all see that? There's no hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1, listen to this verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What promises? What's he talking about? The promises of the Scripture. Having therefore, brethren, these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What promises? The promises of the Word of God. The promises that Bible teaches. How do I get more perfect? How do I perfect myself? How do I have that I'm truly furnished? How am I approved unto God? Because as I read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God speaks to my heart and says, that's wrong, guess what? I get it right. But if I don't have an inspired Bible, how can I trust what the Bible is saying? You see what happens if we don't have a Word of God? If we question that we don't have a true Word of God? Man, there's so many. And I mean, we've got a whole lot more that I've just got started on. Not only the saint loses God's approval, the saint has no discernment. The world has no hope. I mean, man, it just keeps going on and on and on if I don't have the Word of God. So, do I believe in double inspiration? No. But I do believe in preservation. And I believe that every word in that Bible is true. From beginning to end. And it ain't the fact that God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. The fact of the matter is, God said it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not.
Amen.
But if I want it to profit me, and I want it to work effectually in me, then I must put faith in the Scriptures. And it's by faith, understand this, it's by faith and not by intellect that I believe that I have an inspired Word of God.
Amen.
It's by faith. That's the only way I can believe any of it. It's by faith. Have I ever seen the Apostle Paul? No. Did I ever hear Timothy preach? No. Have I ever seen Jesus? Have you? Did you see Him die on the cross? How do you know He did? The Bible tells us that. The Bible, and we accept it and believe it by faith. God's able.
Amen.
God's able. How does it work? Mechanically, I don't know. Methodically, I don't care. I really don't. It's my job to preach it and to believe it and preach it. Believe it and preach it. Believe it and preach it. I'll say this to you. You say, well, preacher, you're a little more dogmatic about it, a little more adamant than I am. Guess what? I ought to be. You want me to preach something to you I don't believe? It's just like I tell my wife and my family. I said, we set the standard. The pastor and his family sets the standard. In everything. In our beliefs, in our attitudes, in our dress, in our character. Because understand this, if it degrades here, then it's going to degrade worse even out here. I want a man of God that believes and is more adamant and more dogmatic about the truths of the Word of God. I want a man of God that way. I've got some that I lean on. Why? Because there's a standard. And they teach me. So, anyway, that's why we need a Bible.
Amen.
There's a whole lot more, and we're going to get on into it, but there's a whole lot more. But thank God for my Bible. It tells me about Jesus. It told me that I was a sinner and I was on my way to hell. But then it told me of a Savior that died for me. Thank God for my Bible. Amen. Come on, Miss Evelyn. Come and give us the verse of invitation. I don't know how to give an invitation tonight.